Hello, and welcome to episode 46 of Divided by Werewolves. I'm Brandon. With me here, as always, is Mitch. If you're coming from quarter to three, hey, welcome. Thanks for stopping by. Normally, we don't introduce ourselves because we're bad hosts.
Right.
But I was like, oh, we should try to be more new listener friendly.
Speaking of that, that was a great episode. That was, I enjoyed all the different takes on Far Cry 5's ending.
You know what? Thank you. I appreciated the other insights. I just was like, I'm not going to say they were reaching. Obviously, people interpret things the way they interpret things.
Sure.
But yeah, I was.
Well, I think part of that. Yeah. Well, I think we talked about this before. Part of that is, you know, how we are.
Yeah.
And I think that while I don't necessarily agree that Far Cry 5 is a horror game at all, I guess if you're what you think is horror might be different than what you and I think of as horror. So,
well, Tom, you know, to Tom's credit, Tom, like the two people that I'll like, there's three people, you, Susan, and Tom. And I guess Tom, the guy, David, the guy that Tom, that Susan used to work with, he works at Games Radar. If I hear about a horror movie from any of those four people, and really those four people only, you being one of them, as I said, I will go watch it simply because it was recommended by one of those people. So Tom does, he's got a really good, he's turned me on to a lot of really good horror movies. I think he just has a different way of kind of looking at games.
I didn't know that at all. Like I've watched him play games before, but I'm not, you know, I'm not super familiar with him, so that's cool to know. Like I didn't know that.
He doesn't do it every week, but a lot of the times he has this running series of things, and it'll be like the worst thing you'll see this week or the best worst thing you'll see this week. And it's always interesting to read because you know, even when he talks about stuff that he doesn't like, you can tell whether or not there is something interesting in it that might be worth watching nonetheless, which for you and I, that's perfect, right?
Cause yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, yeah. But no.
Yeah, like I subscribe to the to his podcast on Stitcher. So because I've been going back to the gym and I've been listening to podcasts instead of music while I'm doing my thing. And so two things real quick. I'm enjoying listening to podcasts because cool. Which, you know, makes perfect sense, or it doesn't make sense that we do a podcast and I just started listening to podcasts two months ago.
I never listen to podcasts. People who I was opinion I love and value and I won't listen to their stuff.
Right. So there's that.
I'm a human being.
And the second thing, and I don't want to get into this, but I'll just say that people who tell you working out makes you feel so much better are full of shit.
Yeah, all it does is I do it in some for two reasons. One, I can play games when doing it, and two, and this is slowly coming to an end as I get closer to the grave. I feel like it gives me license to eat like garbage.
Yeah.
Neither of those things could happen, like if I had to leave the house to go work out, fuck it, it wouldn't happen.
Well, I do. I have to. Like, I go to the gym after work, and so I'm already ill, and it's like, here's what's changed for me since I started going back to the gym and started trying to eat right. I'm fucking hungry.
Yes. Oh, my God. Me too. All the time.
I'm fucking tired.
Yep.
And I'm fucking sore.
Yep.
None of that is better than where I was before I started.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to lose weight very slowly and not like trying is a lot more of an active verb than what's actually happening. I'm making more of an effort to cut down on what I eat. And now that I work in an office, that helps a lot because and even though the place is packed with snacks, I just go, okay, I'm only going to eat what I brought with me and I just bring a little. And then I just have to make sure I don't like pig out at night. But I'm hungry all the time, which is a great feeling to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Okay, so we have a lot of stuff that we want to get into tonight. So without further ado, I can't remember if the last time that I was on the show I had got the PlayStation VR. I don't think that I had.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
If you had, you hadn't told me.
Okay. All right. Then I had. Okay. So basically what happened was I had been, you know, I've always wanted to try it, but the astigmatism, in my eyes is such that one eye is a lot worse than the other. And it makes things like 3D movies difficult. And so I just assumed that the VR would be the same thing. And it's not like the units are like readily available at a store. Like you would have had, I remember when they first came out with it, I wanted to go try it out, but it wasn't anywhere near here. So, but a guy at work brought in his Oculus and set it up at work. And he let me try it, and it worked, and I was so happy. And then I had just finished, you know, contracting, and my wife was like, you know, I was like, well, we were putting some custom closets in, and I was like, you know, no, it's just going to the closet stuff. And she's like, why? Like, we were already kind of planning on spending the money on that anyway, so isn't there like a console or something you want? And I was like, no, you know, because I already have a Switch, and you know, PlayStation Pro really isn't something that I could really do anything right now. And
right,
and then I was in Target and I walked past the PSVR and I was like, huh. And then the next day the guy brought in his Oculus, so cool. So I bought it at a bunch of games and set it up last weekend. And I got to tell you, for a piece of equipment that they had to design around an existing, you know, console that was already several years old, I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, if you have something like an Oculus where you can have like a super beefy PC that's pumping out, you know, the resolution, you know,
right,
things obviously are going to look better. Whereas here, so the way the PSVR unit does it, it has a separate processing box, and the signal comes out of your PS4 into the processing box, and then out of that into the TV when you're using that, and then or into the VR headset. And it's just to give it that extra boost to support the headset. But the headset's really comfortable, and it's just fucking wild, man. Like, I was playing the Batman VR game, and that game, you know, particularly – I think more than some of the other ones is because it kind of maps your physical space to Batman's. Mm-hmm. So when you look down at where your, in my case, my gut is, that's where the batarangs are. You know, on your hip, nice, is the grapnel gun. So, you know, it's kind of mapping his physical presence with yours, which then makes you weirded out that, oh, there's a railing in front of me, but I can't feel it.
Right.
And then on top of that, you don't know, especially that game, it turns you around a fair amount. And I got to tell you, this thing was rock solid when I turned 180 degrees. And you just, in the back of your mind, you're just like, I don't know where I am in the room, because they encourage you to play the Batman game while standing. So it's that, you know, so you really have to just kind of be willing to a certain degree to just kind of let go and just kind of enjoy the experience. But I could see where, like, if people who had difficulty with that maybe wouldn't enjoy it as much.
Yeah. So I'm like you. Like, my eyesight's so bad. I've yet to experience VR in any way. I've never even stuck my cell phone in one of those Big Lots headsets, you know, whatever.
Right.
But because I'm just not sure. Because, like you, I go to a theater. If it's in 3D, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I can't. It doesn't work for me. 3D doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well. But I'm stupid because I own several PSVR games.
Yeah, but they're free.
Well, the Batman game wasn't when I bought it, but of course I'm buying that one.
Sure.
But and it's always been something I thought I would eventually try, probably. You know, it's because I always, you know, most things when it comes to consoles, what I eventually own in one way or another.
Right.
So I have like four or five games for it when I decide to pull the trigger.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, and I'm not a VR like you know, aficionado, so I don't know if how good it. I mean, I could tell you, you know, that the Oculus, I think, is, you know, it's better only because it was specifically designed, you know, for that. Like, that's what it is. And they weren't like trying to say, well, we had these Move controllers that nobody bought. Well, let's try using those.
Right.
So the Oculus controllers are a little more intuitive. They just kind of fit on your hand better. But I mean, Jesus, at the same time, you start playing and you're just in it, and you don't.
Yeah.
And if you don't have anything else, you know, another VR system to compare it to, then it's, you know,
yeah,
you know, it's not like you're going, oh, you know, I bet there's something out there better.
Right. That's going to be my experience, because that's going to blow my fucking mind when
it blows mine away. Like I mean, every time I'm in it, I mean, you can watch. I did stream it. And aside from some technical difficulties where like I had to take the helmet off because the camera was in the wrong spot and all that shit, you know, you can watch the stream and hear my commentary. You know, the weird thing about doing that is, you know, when I stream, I like to make sure when people, you know, drop comments in the chat, I can respond and that type of thing. And you can't do that at all. Because when you stream, the notification that normally pops up, and I don't know if you can broadcast and do the, you know, thing where you can see the chat window. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, you know, the way that I stream now, and I'll get a little notification that says, hey, there's a comment. And then I just look at the laptop. They don't do that.
Yeah.
They try to take anything that would like pull away from the immersion, they get rid of. So
that makes sense, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I got done and there was all these comments and I felt bad. And I prefaced it by saying, hey, I can't respond. But, you know, it's wild, man. I mean, it's wild, and especially, you know, the Batman game, all the little things that you can do. And, you know, you can pick up these, you know, playing cards and little clues and things. And at one point I stabbed myself with a hypodermic nut and I took a blood. I was like, whoa, you know, like take a blood sample and, you know, and Alfred's calling on the phone going, you need to get to the Batcave. I'm like, all right, relax. Like, I'm exploring Wayne Manor. Okay. You know, they're not going anywhere. They'll be dead in the morning. You know, like, yeah, so I look forward to some, and of course I bought the Until Dawn VR game.
Yeah, I have that one. I have that one.
Yeah, so and then I started God of War, and all I can say is, okay, people, can we please just recognize that there are a lot of people playing these games with horrible eyesight, and can you not make the text so fucking small? Like, I have to get up. If I'm playing with the projector, it's fine. Obviously, if I'm on the laptop, it's right in front of me. But otherwise, like when I'm working out, I have to either get up and go up to the television, or I have to just go, well, I'll figure it out. You know, like when the tutorial is coming up and is like, do this or do that. And I'm just like, oh, all right. Well, I'll maybe later, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I was reading all that and I was like, it's Dead Rising all over again.
It is
on 360.
It's so bad. I mean, I remember when The Witcher, you know, came out. It was the same thing. And I'm like, and they actually patched it, and supposedly they patched it here too, but it's not. So, or if it is, I mean, God, how small was it before?
Right.
But this thing, you know, it what's weird is it's had a it's had an update like every single day since I started playing it. So I don't know what's going on, but
that's kind of surprising considering it's scored almost universally as being perfect right from day
one. That's why I was like, well, what are they fixing? But who knows? So, but yeah. Okay. So, and you've been monster hunting, or have you been dabbling in anything else?
Still on Monster Hunter, and I'm playing – I finally started Hellblade.
Oh, okay.
I started it before, and then I stopped because I was playing so much fucking Monster Hunter. And I picked it back up. So, and I'm nearing the end of Hellblade. And it's – I don't know. I feel bad because I recommended it to people. Like, I recommended it to Slick, and he doesn't like it. But no, that's not your fault. Also – Well, he said I was going to buy it anyway. I was just waiting. And I was like, okay, well, that makes me feel a little bit better. But
right.
I, man, I love it. Like, it is 100% what it says it is, a AAA experience for $30.
Right.
Now, it's not 15 hours, 20 hours long. It's on the shorter side. But, like, the combat is really good, I think. It's repetitive, but mm-hmm. you know, it is what it is. The combat isn't the main focus. The main focus of the game is the story,
right?
And you know, her psyche and the voices she hears and the darkness within her and all that shit. And I don't know, man. Maybe you just have to be into that kind of thing. But I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's fantastic, and I'm really excited that like Xbox people get to play it.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I want to play it, but I kind of feel like at some point it'll be on, you know, the
yeah.
What do you call it?
Games with Gold or the PS Plus. Yeah.
Yeah, PlayStation Plus. Right. So I was like, well, I'll do that when that happens.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to play it. All right, cool. So so we have three movies to talk about this week. Let's get Bullethead out of the way first, because I think we'll probably have the least amount to say about that one. Actually, four if we want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it. Let's do it.
Or five.
What would the fifth one be?
I saw something. I saw Rampage.
Oh, yeah, six. All right, let's – okay. All right. Okay, so Bullethead, how did you find out about this movie? Because you told me about this one.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where I first heard about it, because I heard of it before it hit Netflix, but I was like, yeah, I'll watch that because that sounds like something that's – oh, I know what it was. The guy that wrote and directed this was the guy that did this movie called Grace from a few years ago.
Oh, the short. Yeah, okay.
No, well, there was a feature actually too.
Oh, okay.
It started as a short, and then he turned it into a feature, and it, you know, that was kind of fucked up. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, that I remember seeing that on a bunch of lists, and I couldn't find it anywhere to actually watch it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I bought the DVD when it came out, but and then like a couple of years later, it was like everywhere for like $5 on Blu-ray. Like Big Lots had it Big Lots, second reference, but they had it for like $5 on Blu-ray, so I bought it again. But it's like, yeah, you know, the woman, unfortunately, she finds out her baby's going to be stillborn. She, you know, refuses to let anybody – she wants to carry it full term. And then when it's born, it's magically alive. Mm. But it feeds off of human blood. Sure. And so I saw that and I was like, you know what? I need to see the next thing this guy does.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, like I saw that and this isn't the next thing he did, but – this is his latest project, and that's where I heard of it. And then, okay. But then I kind of forgot about it, and then somebody mentioned it that it had hit Netflix, and I was like, oh shit, I wanted to watch that, so I watched it.
Yeah, and so it's got some good people in it too, like Adrian mm-hmm. Brody and John Malkovich and mm-hmm. Antonio Banderas, and there's a guy in there who he was in. I don't know what he's been in other than he was in that Waco show on Paramount Network with guy from Friday Night Lights. I think he's been in. Oh, that's Rory Culkin.
Rory Culkin, yeah.
Yeah. So he's a Culkin. That's what he's been in, mm-hmm. being a Culkin. but anyway, so I think the description on Netflix doesn't really do the movie favors, because they kind of make it sound like Don't Breathe, but with mm-hmm. a dog.
Yeah.
You know, this vicious killing machine, and you know, these guys, they pull a job and it goes wrong and they're trapped in this warehouse with this dog that can't be killed. Mm. And which I guess is true.
Eh.
But what it is, it's a meditation on loving a dog.
Yeah.
Is really what it is.
Right.
This dog is a victim. Without getting too much into it, well, I guess we could get someone into it. I guess it's important to talk about, because people, I think, if you like dogs, not like – here's the thing. If you like dogs, you probably like the movie, but you'll hate the movie because of it involves – in fact, you know, thank you for this. You know, Mitch had said to me, hey, I didn't know – think you'd want to watch it because it has a bunch of stuff about dog fighting. And, you know, it's – so that's why the dog is in the warehouse. He had been in a dog fighting ring. He had won it, I guess. And then
I was confused because
I can't tell if he won it or the other guy won it.
And well, the thing is, like, his name was De Niro, and he was so good that they were fighting 2v1 with him. And it's not a spoiler, but later in the movie, like, you see that they scratched off the names of his two opponents, but they scratched his name too. And I'm like, why did they decide that he put down?
I think they mentioned it at some point, but I can't remember because the game kind of pops back and – or sorry, the movie pops back and forth in time. Mm-hmm. And you know, you first think that oh my god, this is this horrible Cujo, you know, this giant pit bull that, you know, of course pit bulls are terrible, you know, and he's just murdering people. And then you come to find out that this dog was a victim. He's kind of just defending himself from the guy who tried to kill him at the end. That was like, all right, well, we don't need him anymore. And then he's essentially just defending where he lives, but. Right. The stories that the people tell about their experience with dogs, some of it is like the kid's experience is somewhat sad, but loving. Adrian Brody's experience is, you know, fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
But it's less of a Cujo and more of a, you know, whatever, Marley and Me or whatever.
Yes, exactly. A dog's life.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It completely took me by surprise. It's not at all what I expected it to be because I'm not a person, you know, I don't if there's one thing that makes me interested in a movie, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And so I knew it was what's the guy's name? Paul Soleil. So once I knew that and I was like, oh, the guy that did Grace, I'm in. And so I didn't read up on it. I don't do reviews or anything like that. I like to watch things myself.
Yeah.
And I was expecting Cujo, and like you said, you get Marley and Me all of a sudden. I will say that Rory Culkin's story, while the saddest of the entire bunch, like as he's talking, it's like they're like, "Did you ever have a dog?" He's like, "Oh no, my dad couldn't afford it, so we didn't have a dog, but there was this one time."
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. Yeah. No, nah, dogs, not me. Oh, except for the most heartbreaking thing that ever happened to me as a child.
Exactly. And then he proceeds to tell the story in such detail.
Vivid detail. Yeah, right? Yeah.
But it's like, sounds like he's making it up on the fly at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Jesus, I laughed. I couldn't help myself. Like, I was like, it's sad. This is ridiculous.
Right. Like, that's like if somebody was like, like you're like, "Hey, have you ever been fishing?" And they're like, "I don't know, once or twice." And then they tell you a story of how they proceeded to catch Jaws, you know?
Except that time that I was Ahab and there was this whale. Like, Jesus.
Right, exactly. Their eyes would roll back in their heads. Scream to the client all night. So just the one time, you know. Yeah. And it was,
no big deal.
I was surprised at who was in it. Like, I was kind of surprised only because Adrian Brody, like, it's a good movie, but it's not. I mean, he seems to have kind of fallen a little. Like, he was in King Kong, and then that seemed to be it.
Well, for whatever reason, and I'm still perplexed, is there was some push for him to be the next action guy. You know, because he did King Kong, then all of a sudden he's in Predators, and I'm like, really?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That movie wasn't very good either.
No. Like, I was just like, that guy is going to fight Predators, like multiple? Okay.
Like Predator plural? Not Predator, Predators?
Right, not like Baby Predator or something, maybe?
Like Predator in Training, P-I-T?
Yeah, P-Y-T. Exactly.
Pretty young thing? Oh, sorry. And he shouldn't have long hair. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to disparage. I don't know whose idea it was.
God bless him, man. Supposed to have been a character that was so like, oh, I can't quit the criminal life. He was like the biggest sweetheart ever. Like,
I'm glad you mentioned that because I'd forgotten about that. I love the way they set that up for him where, you know,
he's saying, look, I've tried to get out. And then he you know, kind of explains about the habits that he falls back into. And he just kind of goes, this is me. Like, I mean, this is, you know, this is kind of who I am. I don't really have much of a choice in the matter.
Right.
But I liked how the movie kind of bounced around in time and, you know, the way that it kind of played with your expectations on, you know, what it meant, you know, what the movie actually, you know, was, was about. So, and it was, cause I, like I said, I thought it was like, oh, it's Don't Breathe just with a dog, you know, but, right. but for me, I have a hard time, you know, if it's a choice between, unless I know you, if it's a choice between like a person's life and a dog's life, I'm probably going to go with the dog. Nothing personal.
Yeah. Right. I'll feel bad.
But like, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll think of you when I feed the dog every night, but, okay. So, do you want to talk about Rampage real quick?
You know what? Yeah. And this will be the briefest thing I've ever mentioned about a movie. It is exactly what you think it is. If you've seen a trailer, it's just, you know, not surprisingly, I mean, The Rock is The Rock and there's a comedic thing, but, you know, it's out of the cast. If you were to ask somebody who was going to steal the show,
it's the gorilla, right?
No. He is my second favorite character, George. But no, it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the single best part of this movie.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is fantastic.
Exactly.
He's fantastic. He just, it's not his fault that The Walking Dead just sucked with him on it.
You almost feel bad for him that he's in this, but then he's so good and everyone else is so them that you're just like, well, he's just stealing the shit out of this thing. And it's amazing. So it's very loud. It's dumb. It's fun. It's big monsters.
Right.
But you know, and, I will say there are some very comedic elements. There are moments between The Rock and George that they're laugh out loud funny.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So,
it's definitely worth watching, but I would not pay a whole lot to go see it.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I watched Den of Thieves, otherwise known as Budget Heat, Dollar Store Heat. Nice. And I don't know why it's important to me that Gerard Butler be in good movies. I think I just feel bad for him because, you know, he was in 300, which, you know, depending on your you know, kind of what you're looking for in a movie. It was, I liked it, you know,
I love
the movie. And since then, you know, they've tried like those Olympus Has Fallen was not good in my mind. Nope. And the second one is London Has Fallen is worse. Like
it's the same movie.
it is the same movie. Although it was better than the movie with Jamie Foxx as the president.
Oh yeah.
Only because
I almost forgot about that.
Olympus Has Fallen was like, yeah, we are super rated R, you know, people are going to get fucked up in this movie. And then the other one was like, you know, yeah, we're not really rated R. So,
right.
But anyway, Den of Thieves is, like I said, it's kind of a low budget Heat. Gerard, Butler plays, head of like a major crimes unit, but he's, you know, the review I read was like, you know, Gerard Butler looking like he swallowed Russell Crowe because he did. He kind of put on weight and he's kind of got the longer hair and whatnot. But, you know, the guy who plays Mad Sweeney on American Gods. Mm. Do you remember him?
No, I watched like two episodes of that.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, he plays this like, you know, kind of ex-military guy turned professional thief, and he's got this plan to rob the Federal Reserve. But you know, because the money that gets cleaned at the Federal Reserve, you know, they figure out that if they can get this money before it's shredded, then it's clean because it's already been wiped out of the Federal Reserve's systems and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of hooks up with a bunch of different people to do the robbery and stuff. And aside from kind of some of the personal stuff about Gerard Butler's, like he's going through a contentious divorce with his wife. I mean, he's kind of an asshole. So you're rooting for the crew, but at the same time, they're not great guys either. And it actually ended up being, you know, a genuinely entertaining movie. Like when they're kind of their plan for how to do the thing is pretty cool. And when, you know, any good heist movie, you know, yeah. it's when it all comes together and you see how the plan, you know, works itself out, that's the fun of it and the tension that comes about when they're doing it. And they did a really good job. I had heard good things about it and I had been waiting to see it. So, you know, it finally came out and I was like, yeah, I'll definitely, you know, pick this guy up. And I know I think they're going to make another one. So.
Oh, cool.
Definitely worth watching. Okay. So, next movie, which one do you want to do first?
Up to you. I don't care.
Okay. So the next movie is the latest from, and I'm going to butcher his name, Yorgos Lanthimos.
Lanthimos. Yeah.
Okay. Which is Killing of a Sacred Deer. Now, prior to this, had you seen The Lobster?
No, I have not seen The Lobster.
Okay. Lobster is a fantastic movie. Same director. And I believe my interpretation of this movie is that it's set in the same universe as The Lobster.
Okay.
Simply because the speech patterns are the same. And some of the, internal logic of the movie is very similar. The Lobster is this movie about this place where if you're not married by a certain age, you turn into an animal and you get to pick what the animal is, but you still turn into an animal. And so people go to these like hotels with the intention of meeting their soulmate. But then there's also this ticking clock that if they don't do it in time, they will turn into an animal. And Colin Farrell was in that movie and it, like I said, the same kind of clipped speech patterns and very like literal, like kind of way of talking and thinking and whatnot, is in that movie as well as this one, which is why I kind of think they are, supposed to be in the same place.
Yeah.
And not just like that's just how this director prefers Colin Farrell act.
yeah.
But anyway, so Colin Farrell plays a surgeon who at the beginning of the movie, it appears he's got a relationship with this teenage kid. And then as it goes on, you find that there's always there's something off about this kid. You're just not like entirely sure like what is going on. And come to find out that this kid's dad died on Colin Farrell's table. Colin Farrell is a cardiac surgeon, and there's some kind of ambiguity as to whether or not Colin Farrell was drunk at the time. And so this kid blames him for what happened and essentially says, okay, your family is gonna die. They're gonna get sick. First they're gonna lose the ability to walk, and then they're going to stop taking food, and then they're going to bleed from the eyes, and then they're going to die. And all you have to do to stop it is kill one of them. And I don't care which one. I'll let you pick. And then it kind of goes from there. I loved it. I loved it. I loved The Lobster. I thought that was a fantastic movie, like a very kind of weird take on, you know, just the idea of like the importance that people place on finding someone, maybe just for the purpose of finding someone, not necessarily because they feel like they need them to like complete their life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I thought it was great. As weird as it was, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it didn't hit for me all that. And I wonder if maybe if I were familiar with the director or had seen The Lobster, that would have helped. So here's what my problem was, outside of the everybody in the movie being essentially a robot.
which is true. I mean,
the delivery of the dialogue is very robotic. Like, yeah. It's like,
yes,
which that's weird. I'm okay with that, but it was just fucking weird, man. And then, so here's my thing. Did you watch that XX or Double X, whatever you want to call it? That anthology that had all female horror directors, and it was like three shorts, whatever it was. All right. So there's a short, and I think it leads the movie off, if I remember right. And it's one of the only parts of that movie that I really actually did enjoy. But there's this, like, it's like this Jack Ketchum story called The Box. And are you familiar with that? Mm-mm. Okay, so it's basically the same thing. Like, this woman is on the subway, and she sees this creepy motherfucker holding the box or something like that. And anyway, like, they become obsessed with what's in the box. Like, they don't know what it is, and they stop. So the kids stop eating. They're bedridden. And, like, everything in this movie, I was like, this is a 2-hour version of a 20-minute short film that I watched.
Okay.
And I was just like, get the fuck on with it. I was like, God. And then I was just like, man, that short was so much better than and I hate that I saw that first, because that's all right. I kept thinking was like, yeah, this.
No, I could understand that.
This is The Box, only it's 2 hours. And their robots are reenacting it. Like, so it's fucked up. And the ending was not in the right frame of mind for that.
See, that's why that was the other reason why I thought it was in the same universe, is because the kind of the things don't behave the way you would expect them to. Like, they don't follow like the logic of our world. You know,
right.
I don't think having seen The Lobster would have changed your mind, though, to be honest.
Had I not seen XX, that would have been I probably would have loved this, or at least been like, that was fucking weird. I don't know if so. I had other issues. And part of that's my own personality coming out, but, it would have been an easy choice for me. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been real easy. So, and then, like, I don't need everything explained, but, like, is this kid fucking, is he supernatural? Like, what is.
See, and I actually like that. Like, I kind of spent a bunch of the movie going, okay, I want to know how he's doing this. And then, you know, I kind of was like, well, I guess it really doesn't matter, because the movie is more about Colin Farrell and the choice that he has to make, and how he kind of goes about making it, and the way that his family reacts to being put in this situation. It's less about kind of how they got there in the first place. Although I also wanted to know that too.
And then there's, I don't know if The Lobster is this way, but there were scenes in this movie that were just very uncomfortable. Like, you're dealing with weird subject matter,
it absolutely is.
Like, the whole daughter thing with the weird kid, and I was just like, God damn, this is like, it's twisted. Yeah. I mean, but like I said, like, I didn't hate it. I just was sort of, again, I just wish I hadn't been familiar with The Box, because then I think I would have come away, because this was on the list for a lot of people, and that's how I ended up wanting to watch it, because everybody's like, oh, this is on my list for best of the year, or on top 10. And I was like, you know, I'm still going through those lists and sort of – which is ridiculous at this point in the year, because that's just how much shit came out last year.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I mean, my God. And so I'm still watching things from last year that people had on lists, and I got done with it. I was like, yeah, fuck that. I was uneasy at times. The ending was like it fucked me up a little bit. And then but I was like, that was 2 hours. And I was just – I don't know. I felt like, while weird, it's – sort of drug on at times.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I think part of it too, for me, is I just love what, like, the transformation that Colin Farrell has kind of undergone. Like, I mean, putting aside the Total Recall reboot, you know, here you have this guy that, you know, in the kind of early 2000s, late 90s, you know, when SWAT came out and all that stuff, like, they were trying to position him like, oh, he's the new bad boy. He's the next kind of action movie star. And I mean, he was the only good thing about Daredevil. But
Right. Oh, Michael Clark Duncan's Kingpin, I liked.
Yeah, that's true. But they were kind of like, that's kind of the role they were putting him in. And then it just, you know, the stuff he was picking or the stuff he was put in just really wasn't kind of helping with that.
Right.
And I don't know if his off-screen behavior helped. And then for me, what really came was when he was in Bruges, which is a fantastic movie. And Martin McDonnell or McDowell. Anyway, he did the Three Billboards Outside Ebbing's Missouri. Like, in Bruges was the thing where I was like, holy fuck, like, Colin Farrell is a really good actor. And then, you know, he kind of kept doing stuff like that and then being in The Lobster. And then this, like, I know that, like, the robotic nature of it, I think that kind of, you could say, well, that's not really acting, but he was good in both of them. And I think just, I don't know, I just really like kind of where his career has gone and the type of things that he's in now. It's almost like failing as an action star allowed him to say, I don't have to be that person. Nobody wants me to be that person. I can go do this stuff, which is so much more interesting to me anyway, to see him in than Lethal Weapon 7 or whatever, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I just genuinely like this movie. Like, it just kind of, I don't know. It made me like, and we've talked about this with some of the movies that we've liked and is, for me, I think it's because, you know, horror movies, sometimes I have a hard time being scared because, you know, we watch as many as we do. So what I tend to look for as a fix now is dread. And so movies that set up that feeling of, oh shit, like, what is going to happen? Like, what is he actually going to go through with, that type of thing? It's convincing for me, kind of takes the place of, like, I think that's what most people feel when they watch horror movies, because they're waiting for the jump scare or whatever. And I'm just like, whatever, you know, like, okay, you know, I'm more going, oh, that was cool how they killed that person. So I can actually feel like genuine dread in a movie, like, that to me is like, okay, like, that's why I loved It Comes at Night. As much as I did, is because I just felt like it was just, you know, fucking whatever, 87 minutes of holy shit, you know.
Yes, exactly.
And that's kind of how I felt in this movie too. Like, once I kind of figured out what was going on, but it had Alicia Silverstone, who you love.
I know. I was so disappointed. She was only in one scene.
Yeah.
I was like, "You serious? You've basically given me a robot version of Alicia Silverstone." And for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep.
That's probably why I didn't like it. I'm holding that.
If Nicole Kidman and Alicia Silverstone's roles had been reversed.
Oh, best movie of the year.
You'd be like, I want to watch Alicia Silverstone floss her teeth like she's digging granite out of there.
Good God. Yes. I did tweet that.
Yeah, I know.
Good She's Lord.
Very concerned with dental health.
She is aggressively flossing.
Well, you're going to hurt yourself.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So next movie kind of ties in. Here's how it ties in to me anyway. The Lobster reminded me very much of the movie Her. Did you see the movie Her?
Absolutely.
Which is fucking fantastic.
Fucking amazing movie.
And Her starred Joaquin Phoenix, who is in our next movie, which was, okay, I need to add, so the next movie we're going to talk about is You Were Never Really Here. And I need to ask you, have you seen We Need to Talk About Kevin?
All right. I strangely enough, I could swear that I have. Mm. But then I looked into it.
If you
exactly. Have. And I didn't remember it. So I don't think I have. But I could have sworn I did.
Yeah, so I'll have to look up her name. She's amazing. Let me look it up. But if this was a better show.
I'm on IMDb. Lynn Ramsey.
Lynn Ramsey. I am too. It just takes me a while to pick shit up. So Lynn Ramsey, yeah, so she's done a bunch of shorts, but she directed this movie called We Have to Talk About Kevin, which I had put off watching for a very long time because, you know, I have a teenage kid in high school, and it's about a school shooting. And it kind of goes backwards in time, and Tilda Swinton plays this kid's mother, and John C. Reilly plays his dad, and it kind of goes backwards from after the shooting to what led up to the shooting, and flips back and forth. So there's one, you know, so it kind of goes to now and then back to the furthest out and then the events leading up to it. It's an extremely difficult movie to watch.
Yeah.
Particularly if you are a parent, because I like, that's my one thing my wife always says, like when you hear about, you know, like a school shooting or something, you know, she well, obviously you sympathize, you know, deeply with the parents of the kids who were, you know, harmed or killed. You know, you also sympathize with the parent of the person who did it, because they're, you know, some of this stuff comes out of the blue. Most of it doesn't, but even so, like, even if you kind of have an idea that maybe something, I can tell you from personal experience that, you know, sometimes the support you have and the things that you can do, I mean, your hands are somewhat tied. And so, you know, she's always like, you know, you kind of sympathize with the parents of the person who did it because, you know, their world just got destroyed as well. And so, so this movie, I had put off watching it for a really long time, and then I'm glad I did watch it because it was fantastic. But she, her latest movie, is the You Were Never Really Here. And Joaquin Phoenix plays this guy named Joe who, he finds people. That's what he says he does. I honestly have a hard time believing he has his life, anything together at the point where he could do that, but he's ex-military and you know that he's seen some shit. And things, his sanity, like, kind of is somewhat in question. And he gets hired to find this young girl who's gone missing. And it kind of goes from there. But, I mean,
it kind of does and it doesn't. Yeah, you know, it's more of a character study for this poor guy, this combat veteran who's obviously suffering severely from PTSD. And you know, like you said, this dude has seen some shit and it has affected him deeply. And yeah, but you're right, like his home life is kind of odd, and then you watch the trailer and you're thinking, oh, it's a sort of a revenge flick or a thriller sort of actiony thing where Joaquin Phoenix is this badass guy and he's going to be fucking people up left. It's almost like Old Boy or something when you see the trailer.
Yeah, or John Wick or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is not that at all.
No, it's not.
So much more interesting for that fact. It's going to piss some people off. It's going to, like, if you don't know what you're getting into, based on that trailer, which I watched the trailer after I watched the movie, and I was like, wow, that is not at all what it was. Like, it's
yeah, yeah, no, it's, you're such a weirdly, right.
Like the way they promoted it, it's sort of odd, but I'm so glad I didn't see a trailer first, because this, and it is like you said, it's not the feel good movie of the year by any stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to watch, and I to be honest, I didn't fully kind of get what was going on with, so the girl ends up getting, she's like kidnapped in this, like, you know, like a human trafficking kind of sex ring. But then it seemed like, you know, her father was a politician, but I kind of felt like they implied that he was somehow involved, or maybe there was some other politician involved. And so
the whole thing, the way I took it, the way it played out to me, and it was, I don't know. Like, I just feel like the minimalist plot thing is fine if you at least explain the plot or make it clear. And this movie really doesn't do that. But it felt like to me, like, and maybe we're just seeing it from his head, But it felt like he almost felt like he was being set up.
Yes.
But for what reason? Like, it's not clear to me why they were setting him up. And because, you know, he's working for this guy, this, you know, the big man, whatever they called him. And he's doing his job. So I don't understand why they decided to set him up. And I'm wondering if that wasn't in his head.
Yeah, it could be. But I think also they seem to imply, like I said before, that the one guy was – it almost was like her father was one kind of politician. Like, he was running for senator or something. Mm-hmm. And then there was a guy running for governor who was then also involved. So it seemed like mm-hmm. there was kind of multiple layers to this kind of conspiracy. But like you said, you don't know – and the only reason I mention that is because some of that stuff – I'm trying to think if it was external – to him. No, I guess not. I guess everything that we as an audience experience was
absolutely there for. It's all through him. Yep.
Yeah. So, that's a good point as to whether or not, but I mean, you know, with what happened to his mom and everything, clearly.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like it was just, it's so hard to follow at times, but the thing is, it's one of those movies where, so the two things I loved about it the most, where it's shot, it's gorgeous. Like, it's shot beautifully. Like, this is one of those movies where there are long takes and the music works. So it's almost like Driver.
You know, I haven't seen that yet.
You haven't seen Driver?
No, I still have to.
Oh, dude, you got to watch Driver. Not Baby Driver, but just Driver.
Yep.
Okay. But there are long takes, and it's just the lighting is what it is, and the music is playing, and it's so, like, you just sitting there, and it's like, you're just like, when people talk about perfect shots, like, this is what they're talking about, right? Like, this, Lynn Ramsey, she has a style that, after watching this, like, I'll watch everything she ever does.
Yeah.
And the violence, which there's not a ton of.
No.
But it's that type of violence that's like, it's not glorified.
No,
it is nasty. You know, it's right, like
at one point he goes to the hardware store and he buys a hammer. Mm-hmm. Like, well, aren't you kind of going to need more than that? Nope.
It's fuck it, man. It's like, it reminded me of Kill List, from Ben Wheatley, at times. I saw it compared to Taxi Driver, but like,
yeah,
big time.
There's a lot of comparisons to Taxi Driver because, you know, the kind of loner, you know, veteran, but, you know, kind of trying to help out a young girl, that type of thing. But and the way some of the violence is shot, like what you were saying, you know, kind of changing some of the camera angles and stuff, and to where it's not in your face, but you still feel it.
Yeah.
And I mean, Joaquin Phoenix, like, he is completely transformed for this movie. Like, you know, I feel like the days of people, you know, like, you know, when like Robert De Niro, you know, he was in Midnight Run and then he gained a shit ton of weight to be Al Capone.
Right.
You know, or like when, you know, Russell Crowe was in Gladiator and you know, and then he was in that movie where he was the witness against the tobacco company. I can't remember the
name. I didn't see that.
It's a good movie. I just can't remember the name of it. He'd gained a bunch of weight for that. Like, you know, or you know, when, oh fuck, when Christian Bale, he lost all that weight.
Oh, Jesus, the Machinist, my God.
So it's that kind of thing, you know. You think of, hey, a big burly guy, Joaquin Phoenix, not the guy that comes to your mind, but holy shit, like, I mean, he put weight on, grew his beard out. I mean, he was completely, I wouldn't say he's unrecognizable because his eyes are so distinct, but I mean, he just completely, it's almost like gaining that size and that beard allowed him to kind of somewhat retreat into himself because he had all this other like physical mass around him.
Yeah.
And it just was amazing to see. And he was so good. And then, like, yes, you were saying, to not know, like, well, what is actually kind of going on, particularly the end. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That last shot, though, that was perfect to me. Just even the way that the credits started rolling over it. I was just sitting there like, fuck my entire world. Like, God.
Yeah, it was very well done. And you know, I mean, those are the kind of movies. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love a good, like Den of Thieves, right? Like, it was great. It was totally entertaining. Is it going to make you think? Not at all. It'll make you go, oh, okay, that kind of got that idea. Or I've seen this in another movie, and they did a pretty good job of it. You know what I mean? Like, right. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing particularly original. You like the people that are in it, but you're like, well, I've seen this in other movies, but that's okay because they did a good job too.
Mm-hmm.
But then you know, for me to watch something like this or, you know, Killing of a Sacred Deer or Jesus, even Bullethead, because it was so different from what I thought it would be, you know, like that's the kind of stuff that I'm just like, yes, you know, even if I was like, you know what, it didn't really hit for me, but at least it was something like different, you know, like it made me.
It's something, right. It's something that I had some sort of a reaction to. It's something that I actually would like to talk to somebody else about.
Right.
It's stuff like that, right? Like, you know, Rampage, whatever. I wasn't even going to bring it up. You know, like,
right.
That I watched it. It was like, yeah, it is exactly what it is.
Right.
You know, Jumanji, same thing. It was what it, you know, it is what it is. I watched it, funny, whatever. But like, not just horror, just movies in general. Like, shit, something, and I'm such a masochist. Like I look for shit like Serbian film and shit that like I can't like shit that I can't wash off of me after I see it like for days. And so yeah, that's so like shit like Martyrs, like things that Martyrs. When I good Lord,
that's one I don't know. Like that's one where I really don't understand all the love for it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's just first of all, it's two different movies. So it starts off and it's fucking weird and wacky and bizarre. And it's all like it has cringy moments with like, you know, people getting slashed up, shit like this. This girl's like, you know, and then the mean streak that it goes on, which you could absolutely say is unnecessary. But at the same time, I can't deny the fact that I was just sitting there like, fuck. Like, it was just so hard to watch.
I guess for me, it was the end. I was like, I don't know. It just, I was like, really? Like, I don't know. I never watched the remake because I was like, I
have neither. It's not going to be any better than that one. So I'm not going to
watch it. Right. That's what I was thinking. But I just, I don't know. I didn't, you know, it just seemed like the very, especially the very, very ending, like it just didn't, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But it was on so many people's lists and I really didn't understand why.
Gotcha.
But I think that both of these movies are definitely worth, I think they're worth seeing.
Absolutely.
You know, even if they end up not kind of being your thing, and you should watch The Lobster cause it's funny. Like it's kind of like this movie. But it's funny. There's some things that happen and you're like, and because they're so, and I think the deadpan stuff works better in that movie only because it's serious, but it's not as serious.
Right.
When some certain things happen and they're just kind of talking about it in that voice and you're like, what the fuck? Like,
so I'm glad you said that. Cause I actually read that, somebody talking about, because I did look up Sacred Deer afterwards. I was like, so I wanted to see what everybody was liked about it, this, that. And somebody was like, it's a comedy. And I was like, what?
Oh, I don't think this is a comedy.
Good Lord. No, it's not a comedy at all. And
I think you could argue that The Lobster is, but at the same time, I don't know. It's like Her. To me, it's very much like Her in that there's kind of some funny moments to it, but the overall like feeling of the movie is not necessarily a funny one.
Right. So like, I wonder if maybe this person, and I forget where it was, or I'd tell you, but I just wonder if maybe they had seen The Lobster and thought this was sort of the similar thing, but like I didn't laugh.
Well, I've seen The Lobster, and I don't think this was funny
Jesus
at all.
Christ, no,
I mean it was a little weird. Like at the very beginning, when you know the two guys were talking about their watches, and I just was like, why are they talking like that? And then, I was like, oh, okay, all right, I get it. Okay,
yeah,
but yeah, The Lobster is funny.
I'm gonna watch.
And the thing, you know, The Lobster is very similar in that they don't explain like, wait a minute, why do you have to turn into an animal? It's just, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And see, I like that.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen that first. I really do, because I think that, you know, I don't know. Maybe I would have at least known what to expect a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I think what it is you go, you know, you're like, all right, you may be a little more forgiving because you're like, oh, okay, like this is set in that universe,
right?
But you know, at the same time, you know, if things don't work for you because you just don't feel like they were, you know, either consistent or the logic of it doesn't mesh with the rest of the movie, then you know, that's not going to change that.
Well, if nothing else, it made me interested enough in that director to you know, see what he did next. So I'll go back and at least watch The Lobster, and I'm certainly going to watch We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Yeah, that it's a heartbreaker, man. I
fully expect it to ruin my entire day, if not my entire life. But I have to see it now.
And I think and this isn't really spoiling things, but you know, I think any parent in that situation would just feel an incredible amount of guilt, but. You know, the thing that I liked about it is that, you know, Tilda Swinton plays the mom. And as I said before, and she was very, you know, she loved the life that she had with her husband before they had kids. And she kind of was on the fence about having kids. And then when she finally has a son and she just doesn't find herself enamored with motherhood the way that she feels like she should be. And that is one thing that I had a very difficult time with as a parent that people just don't talk about is like when you watch TV or whatever, it's just like, oh, you have a baby and you're like, I would run in front of a bus for you. I love you more than anything, well, you know, possible. And then so when you immediately don't feel that way because you're still like, fuck, I'm scared and tired and confused and they just gave me this thing that I'm responsible for. There's right? no manual. I have no idea what I'm doing right now. And what if it turns out I'm racist and he ends up being racist? Like, you know, you've got all this huge swirl of emotions. And so when those like overriding feelings of parental happiness aren't what's bubbling to the surface, you're just like, oh my God, I'm a horrible parent. Like I am a horrible person. Like what is wrong with me? And people don't really talk about that. And this movie talks about that. Like it kind of go like her, I don't want to say detachment, but those feelings that she had a difficult time with when she became a mother feeds into her guilt towards what happened with her son. And so, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I know that kind of struck a chord with me. You know, it might be other people that are, you know, healthy functioning adults that but it's well worth watching. So and hey, we did it. That's two games and four movies. We didn't talk about Wildling. We could talk about that next time.
Sure.
Brad Dourif being Brad Dourif. That's basically.
Yeah. And Liv Tyler. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. It was a movie.
It absolutely was a movie. So I think next up on the show will be Infinity War.
Yay.
Probably be.
Let me just say before we sign off here, because
I have to go see it. Like I'm happy.
This reputation for some reason. that I just hate everything Marvel, and it's not true.
And I know, and that's why it makes me laugh because
I want it to be good so bad.
Right, because I think about it and I go and I think about. I mean, obviously, what you want is it to be Deadpool good. Like that.
Yeah. That's it.
No, because I was thinking about this today. I was actually like, I mean, when you think about it, you know, like you're not as down on Marvel movies as I think people make it out. And I fully feed into that. So I can't say people. But when you think about them individually or like what we've talked about individually, it's not, although, you know, it's not the case, but
I like love Black Panther.
Yeah, but that's one movie. There's been a bunch of them.
I liked parts of Thor Ragnarok. I wanted to like it.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's I don't know. I don't love them the way everyone else seems to. And if you say anything negative about a Marvel movie, then you're just a fanboy and hater. And it's like, no. And then what makes it worse is that I like the DC movies. So then I'm a super fanboy, right? Like, that just makes it so much worse that I prefer the DC stuff to the Marvel stuff. Like, people just can't fathom that.
Yeah, I don't. I don't understand. I've never understood that with, consoles.
Yeah.
I don't understand it here. Like, you know, when it comes to reading comics, I have much more of a tie to DC comics.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the movies, I enjoy, you know, the Marvel movies more, but it's not necessarily because, like, I'll put pretty much any Marvel movie save for Winter Soldier up against Dark Knight, and I'll watch Dark Knight.
Yep.
And that's a DC movie, but it's not a DC universe movie. So,
right.
But I've never understood that. Cause to me, I'm like, look, if you like comics, then, and you like want to see those as movies, then you have a vested interest in people liking comic book movies, even if it's something that you yourself don't like.
Yeah.
Cause the economics of it works out in your favor because they'll make more of them.
Right.
So to end up with this weird, like, what are you, I mean, are you going to get, is like Warner Brothers paying you to, you know, whatever, like Marvel paying you to like Marvel? No, of course not. Like you, I mean, I don't look what people, and this is what bothers me, is when you get these like young motherfuckers was like, look, I'm going to tell you something. Let me holler at you for a second, because there was a time when the only good Marvel movie was fucking Blade.
Yep.
And that was only as a Wesley Snipes vehicle.
Exactly.
Not because they loved Blade. It's because Wesley Snipes loved Blade. And he was like, I'm going to do this. And they were like, sure, okay.
Right?
Like there was a long time when, you know, we had like Superman in the early 80s. And then we had nothing. And then we had Blade. And then we had nothing. So it's an embarrassment of riches. So just fucking like what you like and be happy that these movies are out there and there's people putting their own take on the character. And if it's not a take that you like or you agree with, guess what? All of those comics are there for you to read.
Yep. And also, let us not forget that if not the first, one of the earliest Marvel movies was Howard the Duck.
Oh, God, yeah.
Marvel had all these properties, and they fucking made Howard the Duck.
Look, I still remember David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury.
Yeah, right?
In a fucking TV movie, all right?
Oh, Captain America, too. That Captain America TV movie.
And the Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
Corman's Fantastic Four.
Jesus Christ. You want to talk body horror? Like, that is worse than anything, like, any meth-addled fucking whiskey shit that Josh Trank could have put in his toilet is, like, a million times better than the Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
You had Corman Fantastic Four. You had Captain America with a motorcycle helmet on that threw an animated shield. Yeah. And then you had Bestiality and Howard the Duck. Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, so that'll be the next one. And then we'll, I know Todd's been asking to come on the show, so we'll see maybe if he can't make it for that. And from a game's perspective, I mean, it's pretty much Monster Hunter.
Yep. I'm going to finish The Evil Within finally, because I've owned part 2 since Black Friday and I haven't played it yet.
Oh, okay.
And I understand that it's way better than the first one.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Which excites me, because while I appreciate what the first one was trying to do, even for me, a survival horror person, it's a little too much survival.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard they loosened up a lot because I was actually like, oh, maybe I'll play it. People were like, no, it's still survival horror. And I was like, all right, fuck that.
Yeah, because, like, you know, when it takes 6 bullets to kill a base enemy and there's 8 bullets in a level and a boss at the end, I'm like, you know, fellas. Like,
what are we supposed to use? Harsh language.
Right. And then the checkpoints are spread out so far. I've owned the game since it came out, and I've still got 2 chapters to go. I played it last weekend. I knocked 3 chapters out miraculously. And wow. So I hope to be done with it soon so I can play the second one and actually enjoy myself.
Right.
Potentially.
What a novel concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I'm just going to keep on with God of War. I mean, I think, you know, honestly, I was kind of looking at, aside from Vampire in June, you know, there's really not too much. I mean, a bunch of Switch things, but
right.
You know, I mean, for me, it's just keep on keeping on with Monster Hunter, and then
same here,
and then God of War, which I'll have more to talk about next time. So, but anyway, until next time, thank you everybody who spent time with us, and you know, tell your friends and loved ones, and send them that link on iTunes and Stitcher, and where the hell else are we?
Google Play.
Thank you. Yeah. But we appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us. And, of course, you can always watch the stream on Twitch, and follow both of us on Twitter, or the Divided by Werewolves. It's the Div by Werewolves Twitter account. And then you kind of know what's going on. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 45. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We look forward – 46. Thank you. Good Lord. We look forward to you spending some more time with us in the next couple weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you. Good night, and have a good evening.